called what I want to say this morning. When a plan comes together, just say it at the top of the screen. Perhaps it would have been at least as appropriate to call what I want to say pictures of Jesus, because there's so much in this long passage, nearly two chapters, that point us, give us very clear pictures. The person of the Lord Jesus, the work of the Lord Jesus, past work, present work, and future work. But it is also God's plan. We may say, from a human perspective, against all the odds, in the most unlikely of circumstances, but most certainly as God knew it would, coming together. We're going to look from verse 8. We looked at the first seven verses last week, but from verse 8 of chapter 46, not quite to the end of chapter 47, but very nearly to verse 27. Remember last week we looked at Jacob's stop in Beersheba. He'd left Hebron, travelled maybe 30, 40 miles, something like that, down to Beersheba. It was almost on the border south, heading towards Egypt. And we saw there the result of God's transformation of his life. God had brought a transformation in his life. And we saw the results of that. We saw a man who stopped there, who built an altar, who sacrificed to God. He recognized that he was a sinner who was in need of God's forgiveness. We also saw by that same act that he was now a true worshipper of God. He stopped to worship God because it was important to him. And we also know that he was now a man who was a pilgrim, submitting to God for guidance. Abraham had gone down to Egypt against God's will and wishes. Isaac had been clearly told, you do not leave Canaan, don't go to Egypt. I can understand why Jacob, if he was submitting to the Lord, was hesitant about going down. He was going to get food. He was even better than that, going to see Joseph, who he'd not seen for 20 odd years, thought he was dead. I can understand why he just wanted straight away to get down there. But he stopped. Lord, is it your will? Am I to go? And God made it very clear to him, Jacob, go. And then God gave him more. And I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be with you. It's a wonderful blessing in verses 3 and 4. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. That's a promise that had obviously been repeated to dad and granddad before. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again, taken back to be buried, and Joseph's own hand, your dear long lost son, he's going to be there with you when I finally call you home. He's going to close your eyes. What a great comfort and blessing that must have been to Jacob, to know that when he died, finally, Joseph, his dear son, was going to be with him. Well, they set off. They travel 300 miles thereabouts to Egypt, to Goshen. 7 points. I'm going to try and keep them brief. Firstly, the anonymous people. This long list, verses 8 to 27. It's actually the fifth list of names that's been recorded so far in the book of Genesis. Most of those names in this list, and certainly the preceding four lists, are probably unknown to you. Unknown to me, certainly. Don't know anything about them, or very little. So far, In the book of Genesis, in these lists of names, these five lists, including this one, nearly 300 names have been listed. I suspect most of them are not just unknown to us, but probably unpronounceable as well. When we come to these long lists of names, we probably think they're pretty uninteresting. They're not very exciting to read. We'll read through them quickly if we can pronounce them, and then we'll get on to something more interesting. Well, let me say, I think there's a reason why God lists these long lists of names. They're not boring to God. They're not uninteresting to God. They're individuals. One writer said this: these lists, speaking specifically about this list in chapter 46, but these lists remind us that in God's eyes, man is not a thing, an abstraction, a species, an idea, or a fraction of the mass, as the Marxists would see him. Rather, he is an individual who God has made, who God sees, and who God knows everything about. We're individuals. Yes, God sees Jennyfield Evangelical Church, but God actually knows all the individuals by name and everything there is to know about them personally. God knows us as individuals. God loves us as individuals. We're important to him as individuals. But I think one of the key things for us to learn from this long list of people is that the whole family left Canaan and went to Egypt. None of them were left behind. God had, because it was his desire, the whole family as part of his plan to move to Egypt. Not one of them was missing. Isn't that how God is with his church? God promises, and the Lord Jesus knows, that through his completed work, every single person who he died for, every single person, they will one day go to heaven. He will present them. Not one of them will be lost. Not one of them will be missed or forgotten about, or, well, something happened to them. Everyone who Christ died for, everyone who truly comes in repentance and knows God's forgiveness, salvation that is from God in Christ, will one day go to heaven as an adopted son or daughter of the living God. And that's a wonderful comfort for believers. Our salvation ultimately isn't dependent upon our sticking to the path, our holding on to God. Of course that's important. Our eternal destiny is dependent upon the faithfulness of God's promise, the sureness of the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and upon that we can be certain. Secondly, the new start. It's the last part of verse 29. I'm not sure if you've ever been part of a big family reunion. Maybe you're part of a family that don't all live within walking distance of each other. Maybe you're part of a family that rarely gets together. Maybe part of a family that live even on different continents. And perhaps you've had that experience where you've been, for whatever reason, separated for many years. Maybe it even goes into decades. But you still have that love for the family that are maybe hundreds, thousands of miles away. if you go to airports quite a lot, one of the things you will see, as you come through, maybe got off the plane, you come through, there'll be people waiting. Some, of course, have the little signs, they're looking for people from taxi firms or things like that. But you'll also see groups of families together. And they're looking eagerly for particular individuals who are going to come through the door. And you can always tell when they've not seen each other for a long time, can't you? Because there's great joy there. There's great elation at this family reunion that's taking place in an airport arrivals lounge. Well, in chapter 46 of Genesis, there's a reunion as intense and as passionate and as real as any that you've witnessed or any that you've experienced. But this reunion, as real as it was, this reunion was a testimony, and it was a result of, and it's a reminder to us, of the triumph of God's grace over wickedness, over foolishness, and over selfishness within this one family that actually happened to be God's chosen family. But there had been plenty of wickedness, plenty of foolishness, and plenty of selfishness along the way. When we see this family reunion, there's a sense from an earthly perspective it was brought about because the world in their day had economically changed. There was a famine. The economics had changed, and we could say from a worldly perspective it had brought the family back together, but we know it was far more than that. We know it was because God's grace had changed the family. God had used the economic situation, but the reunion was because God's grace had changed this family. Those of you who have the privilege, the blessing of having been brought up, of now living in Christian families, I hope your family is very different because of God's grace upon your individual lives. Think about the family of Jacob just a couple of years before, and then the preceding years before that. What a bunch they were. Went their different ways, didn't trust each other, got rid of one of them, and yet now. And that change, radical change, visible for all the world to see, was as a result, not because